to the, oh, Margaret, we're ready.
She's
good morning,
ready.
Everybody.
Good morning.
Those who are good here morning. In the flesh and those who are here in the spirit. This is the
right.
Sunday
we're surrounded
morning.
By
Wings Christian Fellowship Sunday morning discussion meeting. And we're here just to praise the Lord and let him have his way.
Oh, yes.
He is the only one in charge.
Yes, in Jesus.
Father, we thank you and we
praise
you. So,
praise.
Who would open in a word of prayer? Savannah, would you open in a word of prayer for us?
Yeah. Lord, we ask you for a great service, and I ask you just to go before me and anything I continue to do, and help me to hear your voice and follow your word.
Amen.
Amen.
Nice prayer. Well, we've been in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're getting down towards the end of it, if anybody is interested. I think, you know, we've been jumping around a little bit lately, but I think that we are close to, I'll tell you where, I think that it would be good to start at 1542, because we kind of got through the other, there's one glory to the sun and one glory to the moon, celestial bodies and people bodies and all of that last week through 41. And so I'd kind of like to start with 42. Is that okay with everybody else? I like 42. My part.
1542.
And I thought that it's a great portion of scripture. I'm sure I don't understand it. I'm sure there's so much more to the depths of the scripture, because my heart just jumped in my spirit when I read it. So let's say we could go all the way to the end, but let's let's just go to 46.
All right.
42 to 46, and then we'll see what happens.
All right, my turn.
Your turn to read?
All right, that's what he said.
And Brenda's going to be reading from the
Amplified,
the classic Amplified Bible.
So it is with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable and decays, but the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, immortal, and here.
Yeah,
it does, because the Amplified. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Do you want mine?
Yeah, I wanted to read what you're reading.
All right, but this is, First Corinthians 15, but this is not going to be just the same, but
okay. You
can see it better than that little tiny
print.
All righty. I'll start again. I'll go to 43. It is sown in dishonor. In humiliation, it is raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weakness, but it is resurrected in strength and endued with power. It is sown a natural physical body. It is raised a supernatural spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, there is a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual personality. And the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. But it is not the spiritual life which came first, but the physical and then the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And that's the 46.
Yes. I think there is somehow a lot to that verse 46. It's always first the natural and then the spiritual. Let me see if I can read some of this in the Passion Bible. It was really good too. And that's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body was sown in decay, but it will be raised in immortality. It is sown in humiliation, but it will be raised in glorification.
Ben, I had a question.
Okay.
Are you talking about raising people from the dead?
I'm sorry.
Raising people from the dead, or what? Because I didn't read before it, so I was like wondering.
Oh, you didn't read before? You mean that earlier? Well, we were talking about before. We were talking about the all flesh is not the same. There's one kind of flesh for men, and another kind of flesh for beasts, another for fishes and birds. And the celestial bodies have a body, you know. And the glory of the celestial stars, but, you know, there's all kinds of physical things that have physical, quote, bodies.
Yeah.
But that which is spiritual is going to outweigh it all. It's going to be a whole new level of resurrection.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm good. How bad?
Good.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse starting at verse 42.
I got it. Thank you.
All right, when you talked about making man in their image, God's image, that was spirit. Is that true?
Yeah. Have you ever noticed that it says making man?
Oh, so that
he didn't say created man, he said making. It, what you just said,
yeah,
right?
Make.
Us make man in our own image and our own likeness. Making is a process. Creating is a finished thing, a finished work. Howbeit that which first was natural, later that which was spiritual. Man was made a living soul. I don't mean to jump
no,
in your place.
No, please. I know this is so far over my head.
Okay.
I just want to see.
Man was made a living soul. Okay. God breathed in him the breath of life. He was made a living soul. It doesn't say he was made a living spirit. He was made a living soul. And if you, the working definition that most Christians have for the soul is made up of the mind, the will, the intellect, and the emotions. I mean, I'm sure you've heard that before, right? The soul, mind, will, intellect, and emotions. That tends to be the natural man, okay? And
so that the saying that in his image.
Well, when he said, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness, and let him have dominion," you know. Well, like I say, to make something is a process. You know, like if I tell you I'm going to.
I understand that.
Yeah,
but what's God's image then?
What's God's image? His image is spiritual. It is a spiritual image.
Right.
It's not a natural image. It's a spiritual image.
If you say, let's make man into our image, it
yeah.
kind of clears up that.
Yeah.
This is more like the potter and the clay.
It's a process that he's taking us through. You know, we're being changed from glory to glory into the very image. We behold ourselves as in a glass darkly. But there's coming a time when we will see him face to face. In other words, the reality of who he is and where he is will dawn on us to the extent that when that totally dawns on us, we will be just like him.
So when he came in Christ, it was spirit that came in to Mary, came as then, this was Christ.
Uh-huh. Right.
Really, he fellowship.
Yeah. Jesus was the completion of what God said in Genesis. Mm-hmm. The perfection of what God said in Genesis. He was man. And if you want to emphasize that a little bit, turn to Hebrews, the first chapter, mm-hmm. in the Amplified Bible, because it brings it out even clearer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me pull it up here and I can read it to you.
Yeah.
Let's see.
It said in many, right in the first chapter,
in
many separate revelations, you talk about there.
Right.
Each of which set forth a portion of the truth.
Uh-huh.
And in different ways, God spoke. spoke of oath to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds,
yeah,
and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. He is the sole expression.
There you go, verse 4.
Of the glory of God.
The sole expression of the glory of God.
Yes, the light being.
The light being.
The outraying or radiance of the divine.
There he is.
He is the perfect imprint, very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding, propelling the universe by his mighty word of power, mm-hmm, whom he had by offering himself,
yes,
accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt. He sat down at the right,
yes,
hand of the divine.
What we really need to concentrate on there with your question is verse 4.
All right, so we read 4 now.
Read 4 again.
He, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels, mm-hmm, as the glorious name title which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than most.
No, it was verse 4 of the first chapter.
Verse 4.
When in verse 4, he was the outraying of the divine.
That was the verse 3.
Okay, verse 3. I'm sorry. Verse 3. I don't have it pulled up. But anyway, he is the expressed image. If he's the expressed image, he is the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis.
Which he's bringing us to.
Which we are being changed from glory to glory into that very image. Mm-hmm. And when we come to the place where we see him as he is. Mm-hmm. Now, how is he? What is he? That's the question. How is he? You know. Yeah, I know. But how do we have to see him as he is? What is he now? When he ascended on high, he became that life-giving spirit that came into our heart.
Yes.
To give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And, you know, and when we begin to really behold his face, so to speak, what I'm saying is, you know, you have to realize that the Bible's almost written a lot in signs and things like that. If I say to you, close your eyes, and I say to you the name Pete Rose, you know what you're going to see? Pete Rose's face in your mind, because you know he's so well known around the Cincinnati area. You know, if I say to you anybody that you know real well, if I say to you, close your eyes, and I say the word Betty, well, you know what, Betty. You're going to see Betty in your innermost being. You're going to see her in your mind. And face is synonymous with nature. When you see somebody, face is how you identify people. You identify them by their face, you know. And you have to realize that we're going to come face to face with him. You know, I like what Preston Neeby used to say. I heard him preach it one time. He said, when I get up in the morning, he said, I go in the bathroom and I shave. And he said, I look in the mirror, and he said, I say, Evie, you're a son of God. You don't look like a son of God, but you're a son of God. You know, well, what does a son of God look like? Why do you think that we don't know what Jesus looked like in the natural? He didn't want us to know what he looked like in the natural. That's why there was no paintings, no this, no that. Uh-huh. You know, because it's a spiritual thing. We have to behold him in the spirit, and when we behold him in the spirit and we actually see him in the spirit, then we become just like him.
Yes, and then when he says he knew us in our mother's womb, he knew us before
right.
we were in our
right.
mother's womb, so we were spirit.
In the eternity.
We were with him, and I also have heard when they said that we are spirit and we have soul, a soul. We live in a body.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, have you ever read Ephesians, the 4th chapter? How many spirits are there?
One.
Whose spirit is that?
God's. God.
Okay.
So that's us.
Well,
we're
that's
in,
right. But,
we're
but
in him and he's
we're
in
the realm right now of
yeah.
the soulish man.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing in the realm of the soul. We're dealing in a mistaken identity most of the time because we're dealing in when you come to the realization of who and what you really are in Christ totally, then you will have the realization of you will be just like him. But, you know, it's like it says in Romans the 8th chapter, and I love it in the Phillips. It says, creation cannot as yet see reality.
That's right.
Not because it chooses to be blind, but because God has so limited it.
There is a time.
He's limited it for a reason. We don't know the exact reason, but he is limited. And in the Phillips, in the epistles of John, he says, consider the incredible love that Father has shown us in allowing us to be called the children of God, he says there, but that's because it's a small child, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But in King James it says sons of God. It says, we do not know what we shall be in the future, but we only know that if reality were to break forth, we would be just like him. And if you want to wonder why he uses those terms, in this day, in this age, what is all of the most famous shows out there that everybody wants to watch? Every
reality.
Not reality shows, and they're not reality. They're not reality. Half of them are, half of, you know, it's where they have them on these islands and all this stuff, and they say, you know, that they do this and they do that, they're gonna win $1 million and all that. It's supposed to be reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really reality.
Yeah.
The only true reality is in God. He is our reality. He is our life. Until we come to the place where we totally realize that he is our very life, and that in him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
We know that the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations was, and I'm sorry, Kathy, the mystery that's been hidden from past ages and past generations in Colossians says, and the mystery is simply this, what? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes.
And you know, other places, Paul would say, you know, that he wanted to present every man mature in Christ. Or, in other words, he wants us all to come to the place where it's what it says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter again,
mm-hmm.
to the measure, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And when you come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of something, you are that something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You're the same as that something, see? And you know, it. But I hope this is making sense what I'm saying to you. I'm trying to break it down as simple as I know how to break it down. But if we realize that, you know, this quickening that he's doing here, he's talking about the natural and the spiritual. And see, a lot of times I think Christians have it reversed. Because they're always talking about, well, Adam was so spiritual until he fell and he did this and he did that. Not according to what this word says right here.
Mm-hmm.
And not according to what Adam's name means.
Mm-hmm.
God named Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's name means hypocrite, man of low degree, all kind of negative
wow.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the nature of the human man? A hypocrite, a man of low degree, and all that—the natural man. See, and that's why are we really shocked when we hear a politician or somebody say something, and then turn around the very next day and say something exactly contradictory of what they just said?
Mm-hmm.
Because that nature, that natural nature of man, is a hypocrite.
They are actors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And see, when we come to realize that you know, the first Adam was of the, well, now I don't want to get on down to that, but we'll be getting into the rest of that
That's
later.
Okay.
The first Adam, Scripture says, was of the earthly.
Right.
The first man.
Yes.
The last man was spiritual man. It was the Lord from heaven.
Right.
Now, what does Jesus say, what does the Scripture say we are? It says he is King of kings and Lord of what?
Lords.
Lords. Okay. And it says that we are kings and priests unto God. You know, and I'm preaching you a whole sermon here, but anyway, what he said, we're kings and priests unto God. Well, in the Old Testament, there's only one king priest, Melchizedek. And in Hebrews, it tells us that he was of the rank and after the order of Melchizedek. You know, what was Melchizedek? Mel means king, and Chizedek, I believe, means righteous. He was a king of righteousness.
Right.
And what did he do? He met Abraham after the slaughter of the kings. And you got to realize there's a lot of types and shadows in the Old Testament. And the kings, everything that we exalt in our life is a king.
Yes.
It rules over us.
Yes.
Right. The things that we put in front of God, that's the kings that need to be slaughtered in our life. The
yes.
things that we elevate above God. You know what I mean? And a lot of people will say, well, I don't elevate anything above God. Oh, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, you do. Everybody does to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Because anything that you allow to that you put in place of God or above God, you know, it's like I've said before, if you ask some people, if somebody says, you say to somebody, why didn't you come to church Sunday? I missed you Sunday. They say, oh, I wasn't feeling too good, you know, and I just didn't feel like I should come, you know, or something. 10 minutes later, they get a phone call, and it's your sister or your friend. Hey, I got tickets to the ball game. You want to go to the ball game? All of a sudden, you perk up, you know.
Right.
You're ready to go to the ball game. Or you want to go shopping with me? I got a bunch of, there's a big sale on at Kohl's or someplace. You want to go shopping, you know? You know, and all of a sudden, boy, you guess what? You're feeling better. You're ready to go.
Right.
And I mean, you know, we deceive ourselves a lot of times. We really do. And I'm not trying to be ugly or anything, but we allow things to be kings in our life. And we let it to get above God in a lot of areas. But the thing about the Melchizedek priesthood order, he came after the slaughter of the kings, you know, and what did he do? He blessed Abraham.
Yes.
He brought forth bread and wine.
Yes.
Bread is a type of, what did Jesus say when he came? He said, except you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no
yes.
life in you. They said, oh, this is a hard saying. Who can have, can you know, and they were thinking, can we take a bite out of his flesh? That ain't what he was talking about. He was talking about partake of me. Whatever you are, what you eat.
Yeah.
Whatever you eat becomes you. It becomes part of your body,
mm-hmm.
you know. And whatever you drink becomes you. You know, it's taken into your body. But I don't mean to preach a whole sermon here because that's basically what we're doing.
Can I throw something in?
Sure.
This is the way this has been kind of percolating in my life, in my brain today, that. Maybe all of this is a work of God.
It is.
It's a work of God. It is not a work of ours.
No.
Because he wants to present us a fully complete and mature man.
Right.
Well, when you're 7 years old, how can you become, how can somebody throw on you, I want you to become a mature man. What can you do about that? There's only one thing you can do. Eat every day, drink every day, try to learn a little something every day, and go on with your life, and eventually you grow into a mature man. But there's a time element in there, and and Jesus said, when he was before Pilate, if you kill me and bury me, you know, on the third day I will rise again. Well, I know that this could be called a doctrine, I don't know, but 2,000 years from the start to Jesus, 2,000 years from Jesus to the year 2000, and today, and that we are in the beginning of the third day.
Right.
And if we are in Christ, Christ is in us. I think, and I feel it. I not only believe it because of the words, I believe it because I feel it in the earth.
Yeah.
I feel it in my earth. I feel it in the earth today. There is a change coming toward the spiritual and putting away of childish things and seeing things clearly as they really are. Because when we see him as he is. We're going to be just like him. Mm-hmm. And what does that come from? It comes from living. It comes from just submitting every day to the will of God. It's simple, but it's not easy, you know? And especially since we don't have complete knowledge of what's happening in us, and we're not supposed to. You know, we've been made a little lower, you know, and we've been kind of, you know, racking around this earth trying to figure out what in the world we're in. God has a plan, and we are all in his plan. And I'm beginning to see the plan of God just beginning. I get a little glimpse here, I get a little glimpse here, that there is a spiritual awakening coming to mankind right now. We've tried everything else, and it's time to remember that God is all and in all. And I see that beginning to happen. And remember, when it says, one of these things that we read today was, first comes the natural, and then comes the spiritual. Always. First the natural, then the spiritual. There was a point to that.
Can I read this, Kathy?
Sure, go ahead.
This go along with what you said about the 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm,
you know, Scripture tells us that 1,000 years is as a day with the Lord.
Yes.
So we are in the year of 2023. So after midnight on a day at midnight, it becomes another day.
Mm-hmm.
At 2000, when we hit the year 2000, 2001, we were in the third day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you figure that 1,000 years is as a day,
mm-hmm.
then once you pass the 2000 mark,
that's right.
You moved into a new day. You know,
mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. This is Hosea chapter 6. Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. Now listen to this. After 2 days, okay, 2 days, or 2 days, will he revive us? And in the third day, okay, in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his face. It says sight, but a proper translation of that word is face. If you look it up in Strong's Concordance, if you look up the meaning of that word in Hebrew, it's the word face. We shall live in his sight, in his face. What is that scripture we were quoting before? When we see him as he is,
we shall be like him.
We shall be just like him. You know, I've preached a sermon on this before, but my sister, she used to keep her grandson a lot. And Jerry, when he was real little, she said sometimes she she'd be laying there asleep, and she would wake up, and he would have his forehead right against her forehead, his nose right against her nose, and she said I'd open my eyes, and it would almost shock me. You know, he was in my face. You know what I mean? But you know what would happen when he did that? You know what he would see when he looked in her eyes?
Himself.
Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture that talks about Israel, and you got to realize when it says Israel, it's not talking about just natural Israel, because they're not all Israel which are Israel.
Mm-hmm.
They're not Jews which are all Jews in the natural. But it's circumcision of the heart.
Right.
We're all part of spiritual Israel, okay? And when it talks about that he will keep Israel as the apple of his eye in the Old Testament, that word for apple means little man of the eye. And what does that mean? Who's the little man of the eye? It's you. When you get up in his face, put your nose to his, your forehead to his, and look in his eyes, you know who you're going to see?
Yourself.
You. You're the little man of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, And that's why we have to come to realize that. And let me go ahead and finish the rest, read the rest of this, because it's wonderful. It's a beautiful, beautiful scripture. Come, let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Mm-hmm. And then the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight or his face. Now listen to this. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. Mm-hmm. And you know what happens in the morning? Sun comes up. You ever tried to keep the sun from coming up? You can get sun, you can get darkening shades, you can pull the blinds, you can close the curtains, but that light will get in there somehow. It'll come under the door, it'll come through the keyhole, it'll come out somehow. That light will get in there. And shall we know if we follow on the Lord? No, the Lord is going forth as prepared as the morning. He shall come unto us as the rain, and as the latter rain and the former rain. That's three different kinds of rain. And there used to be a move of God called latter rain movement. Latter rain movement was I don't know if I'm gonna quote this exactly right. I think it was the latter rain movement was a teaching rain.
Is it where Mormon comes from or something?
Please,
Adventist. Is it from Mormon or Adventist or something? Seventh-day Adventist or Mormon? I think they say something about...
I'm not sure, but there was a movement called the Latter Rain Movement years ago.
Right.
But what he's saying here is all three of these types of rain are going to come at one time.
Wow.
And there's going to be an abundance of rain. And rain talks about, water talks about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God. You know, we're being washed by the water of the Word, you know, being changed, you know. And think about what happened with Jesus, his first miracle that he did, you know, in Cana of Galilee. There was six water pots. Six is a number for man. And it's also the number for Satan, you know, six. But that's because man blames Satan for everything, you know, I believe. But anyway, six is a number for man. Man was created in the sixth day, and on the seventh day God rested. That's what scripture says. There's six water pots there. The mother tells Jesus they have no wine. They have no wine. They're out of wine. And Jesus says to her, well, what is that to me? You know? And she says, whatever he bids you do to the servants, you go and do it quickly. And he tells them to fill the water pots up to the brim, to the top. Mm-hmm. Then he tells them, draw some out, and take it to the governor of the feast. And they do that. And what does the governor of the feast says? Oh, he says, most men put forth the best at first. He said, but you've saved the best for last.
Exactly.
And that's a type of even what this abundance of rain is in here. The best is being saved for last. And I will tell you this, and I've told people this before. The funny thing is, how many winos have you ever seen that aren't usually happy?
True.
I mean, most of the time
they're
acting goofy, and you know what I mean. So even the things of the natural, he used the things of the natural to explain the things of the Spirit. There's coming a joy and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like there's never been before. Never been before. And let me tell you what Jesus said, these works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Now we haven't seen the greater works. Mm-hmm. We've seen some wonderful things. You know, God's done some wonderful things, miraculous things, you know. But we haven't seen the greater things. But what's he talking about? And what are we waiting for? Read Romans the 8th chapter.
I love it.
All creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation, the unveiling, the taking the lid off of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm. I gotta go back and read Romans
You know, and we're part of all creation too. Mm-hmm. We're growing more than anybody.
Well, Scripture says we groan within ourselves. Yes, that's why we speak in tongues and stuff, because we don't know how. We don't know how to pray half the time.
We don't know how to become.
Yeah, and you don't do anything to become. He does it. He's the one that does it. Mm-hmm. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Now all you do is just be obedient to what he tells you to do, and you know, this thing is a lot simpler than we think it is, because we think you have to follow certain guidelines and all. What you really got to follow is the leading of the Holy Spirit inside of you each and every day. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, that's all. You know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that are what? By the Spirit of God? Led by the Spirit of God. I heard a preacher say one time, he was over in the Middle East, and he said, this shepherd came up to a watering hole, you know, where there was watering. He said some other shepherds came up to a watering hole, and there was three or four shepherds came up to the same watering hole with their sheep. Now, that sounds like a mess. But said what the shepherd did was he started walking away after they'd all drank, and he started calling them by name. And they pulled out, and they followed him. Now, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow.
Yeah, praise God.
Think about that. And I mean, he said he visually saw that, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't have shepherds over here, we have sheep herders. Mm-hmm. Now, in your country, there might have been shepherds, I don't know. In Africa, if you ever saw people that had sheep.
Right, right.
But did they have the rapport with the sheep? Look at how Jesus, the one picture I like of Jesus is the one where he has the sheep on his back. You've seen those pictures, haven't you? Where they'll have a picture that's supposed to be Jesus, and he will have a lamb on his back carrying it with his legs hung over his shoulders. Read, I think it's 51, I believe it is. He says, make me to rejoice at the bones that thou hast broken. Now the story is that when the sheep would go astray and the shepherd, they kept going astray and going astray and going astray, that the shepherd would take the sheep and break its leg.
Ouch.
And then he would carry it on his back until it healed. And in doing that, he developed such a relationship with that sheep that it never wanted to leave his side after that. So when you get some broken bones, God loves you. And I'm talking about spiritually.
Broken, yes.
When you get some broken bones in your life, spiritually, so to speak, mm-hmm. it's because he loves you.
Amen.
He's wanting to carry you through mm-hmm. so that relationship with him will be intimate. And you know, it's funny because, you know, the scriptures, when you really study into the scriptures, it's so amazing the way his word is. It's so perfect. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, there's mistakes in the scriptures. And I'm telling you, I haven't found them. When I study and he opens things up to me, I've found no mistakes in there. You know, I've found things that there's a reason for everything that's in there. There's a reason. And you know.
And if you don't know it yet, you will.
You will eventually, you know. And I'm sorry, kid. But you know, when we look at this, this is a tremendous scripture here that we're studying. And as we go on through this, we're gonna really get into some beautiful things here.
Yeah.
You know. But
to me, that's how I know.
Yeah.
I know when I'm reading something that, you know, God is trying to open up to me. Something just inside of me does that.
Right.
I love that. You know, it's getting to the point now where it's almost every single thing I read. You see things in it that after all these years, and all the years that you've read these things,
uh-huh.
and they begin to mean deeper and different things. And what has changed? Has the Word of God changed? No. We've changed. And our soul is getting into submission to the Spirit of God. That's what's changing in us, is that our soul was a childish soul, an emotional little defiant soul, you know? And little by little, as we grow, it's becoming submissive to the Spirit of God that's trying to lead it. And I love that about getting old. I love that about getting older. I mean, as he put it, if I go by his rules, I have entered my 80th year. I love that. I think that is so cool. I just had my 79th birthday. I'm in my 80th year. You know, what is eight? The number eight is for new beginnings. I feel that so greatly in my life.
Yeah.
And the all of these things that we've read all of our lives, they're all starting to mean new things. And it's because the Spirit is becoming preeminent in our lives. The soul is under it, and is the fewer things that I desire to control, the greater the Spirit of God can move in my life. I don't, you know, whenever I try to control anything, I find that my soul is getting in the way of the Spirit of God. And so the best thing to do is just to sit on my hands and pray to God, because He has a plan for our life and I don't. I have made a mess of my life. I've done one or two things pretty good. I just feel like I could give Him praise forever. And it's getting better and better every day, because we're reading the same Bible that we've read all these times, and now my soul is just going, oh wow, that is now not first which is spiritual, but first is that which is natural, and afterwards that is which is spiritual. It's starting to coalesce in my natural brain. What is it? Where is that that says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind"?
Romans, the 12th chapter.
Hallelujah. God is renewing our minds. And I remember you gave us a sermon on that,
right,
about the electrical connections in our brain. And he said, God can rewire, you know, boom, 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 boom. He can put all those electrical connections. Can your mind be renewed? Yes, it can. It can be renewed by the Spirit of the Lord.
See, even in that Romans the 12th, it says, be not conformed to this world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that means basically pressed into an image. Yeah. The world is always trying to press you into a certain image, you know. They want you to be a Republican or a Democrat or a this or a that or something else. You know, they're always trying to press you into something and hold you right there. And don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be you transformed.
Oh, yes.
And that word for transformed is the word metamorpho. Mm-hmm. That's where the word metamorphosis comes from. That's where the caterpillar changes from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Mm-hmm. And once it changes into a butterfly, guess what? Mm-hmm. It's a two-dimensional creature then. It can be on the earth, but it can also fly in the heavens.
Yes.
And that's what we're to be. Not to be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, the renovation of our thinking. Like she's saying, the rewiring of ourself, basically, mm-hmm. where we begin to claim what God's Word declares and not what our natural senses see out there all the time. And be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Three things. God dealt with me about that one time. Goodwill, that means beneficial. That word actually means beneficial if you look it up. When you get a job, what's one of the first things you want to find out when you go to a new job? What's the benefits? How much do I get paid? How many vacation days do I get? How many, you know, this and that. When you become a new Christian, what's the first thing that you begin to experience? The benefits of being in Christ. all of a sudden life looks different, it's better, it's, you know, it feels better, you know, things like that. You start finding out that there's healing available, there's
peace.
All kind of different things, peace. Of peace, there's all kind of things available, because that's the benefits of being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That you might prove what is the good, the acceptable.
Yeah.
Let me tell you where that's where most Christians that are have been in the Lord a long time are right now. That means well pleasing,
yeah.
Acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
All of us want to hear the Father say of us, like they said of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
"This is my beloved Son,
yes.
in whom I am what?
Well
pleased." Yes. And you know what? It should begin to be our heart's desire to please Him in all things. And when we don't please Him, guess what? We're very aware of that we didn't please Him, or that we weren't obedient in something we should have been, or whatever. And we kind of walk around with our head hanging down, thinking, "Oh God, I missed it today." You know what I mean? "I'm sorry, Lord, I messed up," or something, you know. But the last one, the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And that word for perfect means entire, complete, but it also means a full-aged man. Full-aged man. And what does that full-aged man mean? When we come, like it says in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we're not tossed to and fro by sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive, but we're doing what? Speaking the truth in love, that we might grow up in Him in all things.
Yes. Why is it that every time we say, "Well, I'm speaking the truth in love," you're about to put the hammer down on somebody? That is the exact opposite of speaking the truth.
That's the natural.
In love.
That's the
yes.
natural when you're
yes.
speaking the truth.
When
you
speak
think is
the
truth
in
love,
you say,
yeah.
"You know what? You're a child of God, and everything is going to be fine." That's speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
You don't speak the truth in judgment.
That's right.
You speak opinion in judgment.
That's right.
Speaking the truth in love, that always killed me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna.
We haven't let you guys say
brother,
much. You guys are dreaming. You want to say, please jump in there anytime.
Wow. Yes, please.
Any question, anything. I mean,
where are we?
Not that we have all the answers, because we don't have all the answers. There's only one answer, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the only
We just
answer.
Love talking about Him, don't we?
Amen.
We do.
Amen.
We love talking about Him. Yeah, when He walked on the earth, and we especially love talking about Him in us.
Yeah.
And us and who we are and who we want to become.
You know, right now, a lot of people are preaching about all the bad things that they think are going to happen in the earth. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a bad thing preacher.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, the word gospel means good news.
Right.
I'm going to tell you the good news. You can see the bad news for yourself. I don't have to tell you the bad news. You can see it out there, but I'll tell you what, if you see it through the eyes of the Lord, you'll do what it says in Romans 8 chapter. You'll realize that all things work together for good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't say all things are good, but all things work together for good. You know. And when we come to realize that, then no matter what's happening around us, we can say, "Lord, let me see Your hand in this situation, and let me see it quickly so that I can overcome in this situation," you know. And a lot of times, you know, because we don't have, because we don't ask. We want to just think we know the answer, and we don't know the answers most of the time. Only God knows the answers of what's really going on. We don't know. I mean, you know, I wish we did, but we don't. Not at this point, anyway. We know He is the answer, you know. But, well, like I say, with Kathy's help, I've preached you a mini sermon here today.
So excited.
That's good. That's
yeah.
good. We actually loved it.
Yeah.
We just wanted to hear more and more.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you that... God's going to do some wonderful things. He's going to do some wonderful things.
Well, I'm sitting here and listening to all this. I'm being very quieter. But I'm reading 45 in my NIV, and it says, "So it is written, the first man became a living being, the last Adam a living, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I'm, and for me, I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, when I was born, I became a natural being. But even from the beginning, I believe Christ was in me. I do now. I didn't when I was young, and I didn't when I was old, actually. But the reality of it is, we are one. We're one and together with Christ. Even from our from birth, we are truly one together with Christ. It's just that we have to understand and learn that when we become and know Him as who He is, that's when the spiritual part of it really comes into our being.
The realization of it.
Yeah. It's a realization. Yeah, right. That's right. It's a realization of it. I can remember the night that I got saved. I was sitting in a church that, in a little Baptist church, where a friend of mine was the pastor, and he said, "We're having a revival, I want you to come." And I said, "Okay, I'll come." And I'm sitting in practically the last row one night. This guy was up there and he was speaking, and I just started shaking. I mean, I was shaking, I was literally like this. And I knew that's the where the realization for me that Christ was going to be in me, that he is already in me, but I just had to accept what I had to accept, and that's the way I got saved, and it was a life-changing event. And I think that's what happens with most people. It becomes a life-changing event. I'm sure you guys, when the realization came to you, it was the same thing. It was a life-changing event for you. It was like, there is something much better than where I have. Who I am and what I am and what I have in me. And that changed everything about you. And it changed everything about me. And it changed the way I think, the way I act, the way I go about my daily business, you know. I'm not saying I do everything right. I don't do everything right. I do probably more things wrong than I do right. But the truth is, I know the difference now. You know, where before I got saved, I probably knew, you know, right from wrong, but that didn't mean I didn't make my, you know, my judgments, my resentments, my, you know, all those things that go along with you what life is all about. And that's where that was the point in my life where the spiritual became one with the natural. And it says it right here, you know, we were there from the beginning, but we have to learn to come to bring it together.
Amen. Well, you know, even in eighth chapter of Romans, it says the creature was made subject to vanity, and that word for vanity is futility. Mm-hmm. Not willingly, but by him who subjected the same in hope. You know, God knew what he was doing when we were lowered into this lower realm, you know, because you got to realize our very life is his life. What he did with man when he took him out of the dust of the ground, what did he do? It says he breathed into him the breath of life, or basically he breathed into him. And if you look at the translations of some of that, it says he exhaled very he sent his life into us, you know. But, you know, for some reason, he decided to lower us into a lower realm. And I don't know why. I can't even tell you exactly why. The one thing that I've often thought is this, is that there used to be this movie called The Prince and the Pauper, you know. And One guy was a prince and the other guy was a pauper, and they were actually identical twins. They looked exactly alike. But they had got separated at birth. And the one guy was a prince, and he had all of the things of being a prince. Well, they met and they decided to change places. Well, when they changed places, the pauper came up and he became the prince. And the prince went down and he became the pauper.
People are here like that.
Okay. Now imagine in the natural way that movie went, you know, it was like, wow, you know, this guy's changed completely. And there's a scripture that says, though he were rich, yet he became poor.
Yes, Jesus.
And the Lord gave me a poem about that one time years ago, and it goes like this. Rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. The sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how does this wondrous gift apply to even me? For he brought you from the realms of death to that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive peace and harmony.
Yes, Jesus.
You know, and that's where we're at. I mean, folks, he's trying to raise us up. He came down, he lowered himself into the form of a man. He took on all of our sins. He took on all of our mistakes, mm-hmm. that we might be set free, you know.
Well,
and he's raised us up to be kings and priests unto God. That's what he's raised us up.
Well, you know, you've heard, everybody here has probably heard the axiom, timing is everything.
Yeah.
And timing, you know, the night that I got saved, that was my time.
It was.
I didn't know. I was at a place. I went because a friend of mine asked me. I was doing it just because he was a really good friend of mine, and I said, "Oh yeah, I'll come." But God knew it was my time.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the way it works.
Yeah.
God knows our time.
Yeah.
He knows what we have, when we're ready to receive whatever He wants us to receive. And it's only in His timing, not my timing, that can happen.
Yeah.
And I'm glad, because
yeah.
if he would flood me with a whole bunch of stuff in the wrong time, I would not know what to do.
Yeah.
It has to be when I'm ready to understand it.
I think we better close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's about 5:02.
Yeah. Sean,
yeah.
How about that clock is wrong?
Oh.
How about you? Would you close with a word of prayer for us?
Pray. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this good time.
Yes.
I thank you for the word that we heard. Mm-hmm. I pray that you pull these words in our heart.
Yes.
And that you give us the strength to practice everything we learned here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus.
So that we can be as you meant us to be, your